here to prophesy.
It's on now. Well, how many of you have ever given a testimony that went so badly that you promised yourself you would never get up and do it again? Okay, don't raise your hands. Well, I gave one of those Friday night, and I was sitting in the meeting. It's, you know, it's a really good time to be quiet. But I was inspired by the message this morning, and that we can experience the Lord in the good times and especially in the bad times. And when Dennis was saying about, you know, things happen that you don't want to happen to you, you can still experience the Lord. I told this story before. I went to Taiwan, and my brother-in-law treated us to a trip right after we got married. And one hot night, we went out for soda, and I was riding on the back of a moped with him, and we came near this truck, and the bed of the truck was like eye level, and he rode real close to it, and it didn't seem like he slowed down. So I was kind of scared, but to me, that's kind of a picture of trusting in the Lord. I mean, we have to have faith that we're not going to hit anything, but sometimes it gets a little scary. Mm-hmm. So at my work, there is a kind of turmoil, a lot of turmoil, like Dennis was sharing. There's different things, and I'll just give you the short version. This person came, and then my boss wanted to fill up her desk, so he went around to three of us and said, okay, you give part of your desk to this person. And the other two ladies protested, and they fought, but eventually it was like pulling teeth, but they got stuff from those people's desk. Then he came to me, and he wanted, and I'm a little bit anxious, like I'm a lot anxious because of my age, you know. It's not easy to get a job at my age. But I realized that, this, you know, we all know how those other people reacted. But I'm a Christian, and I have the life of the Lord in me. So it's a very good opportunity to preach the gospel to my bosses, you know, by how I react to this threat, you know. So praise the Lord. We can experience the Lord, amen, you know, in the good times and the bad, when things happen to us that we'd really rather not go through. Praise the Lord. You know, our Lord is not just for us to come to the meeting and talk about and go to meetings and stuff, but our Lord is one that we can experience 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, in all the things that we go through, the good things and the bad things. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Knowing and experiencing the mystery of God, we believe and feel His presence. Christ is a mystery of God. God is in Christ. We can know God. We can know who God is because He is embodied in Christ. Amen. During the bad times, we can experience Christ. Our experience of the Lord should be daily. Amen. The Son manifests the Father. Amen. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Right. We can experience God through His dispensing Himself as light and the water of life. Amen. Do not let no one stop you from enjoying Christ. Amen. Christ is the definition of God and the expression of God. The church is the mystery of God. Christ lived on earth for 33 and a half years doing the will of God. All the fullness of Godhead dwell in Him bodily. Amen. You know, this speaking is really good. I was just tying what the brother had mentioned to something, you know, I was listening from the life study. And, Brother Edmack, you know, he said that, you know, we can experience Christ through His dispensing. You know, that, you know, we can experience that mystery because Christ dispenses Himself in us. Amen. As light. And what the light do? The light eliminates the darkness, causes us to walk in Him. And we can also experience Him by drinking that water of life.
Right.
And we can feast on Him. We can feast on Him through the Word, through the saints. You know, so, you know, let us continue to enjoy this mystery of Christ. And we saw that, you know, when Christ was on earth, we saw that He wasn't doing nothing in Himself. He was doing the Father's will.
Amen.
That was His ultimate intention on earth, you know, to do the Father's will. And, you know, and we saw that all of God's element was implanted in him. You see, and we have Christ in us. You know, we have redeemed. You know, we are born again. You know, we are sons of the invisible God.
Right.
You know, so may we continue to enjoy Christ. Amen. Amen.
Trust and obey. I think a couple of the words that come to mind for me are faith and the cross. When you have the faith that God puts in you, you understand that the cross is so vital in this process. And to be older, over 45 years in the Lord, I've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations. The Spirit has worked on me quite a bit. And there is quite a working that goes on. But to have the peace of the Lord through this all is really the critical experience that you walk away with. And to not be anxious in things and to understand that God has a hand in everything. I didn't want to get up and share today because I feel like I share all the time and I want everybody else to share too. But I have a personal experience I wanted to share that really illustrates, I think, the peace that we have in the Lord. In 1995, my son, who was 18 at the time, drowned. And how hard can it be to lose a son who's grown to be 18 years old? And right there at the threshold of living and going on to college and doing what young men do to grow in life. All my kids, five children, all baptized, all love the Lord. I baptized them all, thank the Lord. But when he drowned, I had peace. I just gave it to the Lord. And I don't know, I've had peace all the time since then about it. The Lord has it, he has him. I don't know what else I could do but to give it to the Lord. And when that happened, I had such a peace, and I have that peace today. I love my son, and I love to have my son, but it's not the way God had it arranged. You know, and the discipline of the Spirit and the ups and downs in life that we have, the turmoils, God wants us to have some grinding stone experiences where we get ground down, where the rough edges get taken off, and we get to be conformed to his image, conformed to his likeness through his filling us as vessels of mercy with himself. And the more we contain his life, the more we express his life, the less anxious we have, the more peace we have, the more joy we have, the more rest we have is him in the good land, that we can walk in the good land, that we can walk in the light, get the revelation from God, and really be full of him in full knowledge and experience. Thank you, Lord, for such a peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This week, I enjoy the differences between the richness of God and the fullness of God. So we know that the richness of God is like consists of like God's, like his attribute, and all that he is a matter of the existence. But the fullness of God is actually the richness that progresses from Father to the Son. There's an overexpression, there's an overflow. And I was like especially touched by the famous verse that we all know, that is John 3:16, because it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes into him would not perish but would have eternal life. So we know that God is love, God loved mankind, but we won't know this love exists in the Father until like it says, God so loved the world, like this love overflowed, so to the brink that he gave his only begotten Son to us. So this love progressed from the Father to the Son, and Son expressed the Father's love by dying on the cross for us. And so that we are all redeemed, and we will not perish, we already have this eternal life. And this is the fullness of God's love. So if there's no Son dying on the cross for us, we will never know God's love. And this is like the fullness of God's love. And that's why John 1:16 says, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. So we all have received this fullness of God's love by receiving the Lord as our Savior. But I was touched like with the verse doesn't just like a stop there, but the verse continue to say it's grace upon grace. So it's like we don't just experience that at the initial stage of our salvation, His love, but in our Christian life, we continue to experience His different attributes. For example, that we experience His shining in all our different situations. We experience His faithfulness as He listens to our prayer according to His word. So as we experience Him as grace, like the fullness of God, like the more grace we receive, the experience, the more experience that we have, actually the more we can express God. Yeah, and Christ is the, as we say, like Christ is the mystery of God because He is the embodiment, the expression of God. But church is the mystery of Christ. And that means that the more grace we receive, the more reality we enter into Him, the more experience that we have in Him, the more we can experience, we can express Him, and we can more enter into the reality of the new man to express Christ.
Amen. Amen. I really enjoyed Colossians 2:3, which says, Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Do you want some treasure? I want this treasure. But I was also touched by that there's a warning in verse 8. Beware. Beware of what? Someone's trying to carry you off according to the traditions of men. Tradition of men. And I realized there's a lot of tradition here. I'm an old man, right? Not old, but I'm part of the old man. And what the old man does is it takes something new and makes it a tradition. I mean, if it's worthy, right? Why not do it every single year? And I was, the Lord spoke to me through a little example at work. I work with computers and software, and so it's my job when the software breaks or does something wrong, I need to go find why it didn't do the right thing and then fix it so it does the right thing. So we have these things called alarms that tell us when something probably didn't happen right. So I got an alarm. And I read the alarm, it was automated, and I read it, and I said, oh, this is a false alarm. So I emailed someone in the company who takes care of something related, and I said, I think this is a false alarm, can you turn it off? And so I had a certain tradition of a way of solving problems, and it was to look at the alarm and try to find out what was the cause, and then say, oh, it's not my problem. And the guy responded and said, actually, if you look at this website, which was a tool, I had never seen it before. And I was like, wow, what an awesome tool. And figured out that actually the alarm was not false. There was something wrong. So I had to put aside my quote unquote tradition of my way of solving something and be open to something new. Actually, that website is kind of a treasure. I realize I need to figure out how that works because I can apply it to my work, right? That was just a small example. But then I realized, Lord, I need to be delivered from tradition and not try to figure things out, not try to be smart, but I need to get into Christ because the treasures of wisdom are there. So then I thought, well, how do I apply this? How do you get into this treasure? Just a little something. I mean, this is not even touching God's economy. This is just that Christ is in the fabric of the old creation, right? He's the one who holds together even the first creation. So someone complained to me early this week, oh, I'm tired of the cloudy weather. And then one day we had sunny weather, right? I realized, Lord, I need to thank you. Because you're the reason for the sunny weather, and you're also the reason for the cloudy weather, right? When we thank the Lord, that turns us from our oldness. It turns us to the source. And even though this has nothing to do with me being in God's economy or the Spirit, or, you know, it's just thanking the Lord for something in the old creation. And yet it's so simple because it turns us to Him. And then that provides the opening for the Lord to reveal the treasure. Amen.
Praise the Lord. How can we get into this treasure? Thank you, Brother Steve, for your synopsis. That we can experience Christ dispensing himself into us. I just want to give a practical example and a need, two quick needs. Let's say Ephesians 5, I think it's 24, 26, where it says, let not the sun go down in your indignation. A lot of us here, saints, are married, and something may have come up in the morning before we went to work, and there's indignation. We might have went through the whole day and nothing, but, oh, it's time to go home, and Satan is right there planning terrible thoughts in us, and the indignation is there. But we know that our wives can read our face. We dare not wait for morning watch. We're doomed. We need to touch the Lord. May not be a watch, but we need to touch him because we need an influx. I'm glad the brother mentioned planted. I don't have the Jeremiah verse, but I know the Psalm verse where we're planted by streams of living water. We need rivers of living water. We need to grow some roots. And my favorite way is singing, but because it always works if we sing long enough. But even worse yet, and sing long enough, the Lord will wash our heart and imbue love and joy for our wife, and we can face her, you know, when we come home. But worse yet is if something was brewing in the morning and we know our wife is angry at us and we're about to go home and haven't touched the Lord, and she's going to be railing at us. How much more do we need the Lord's love, whereby we can even love our enemies? So anyway, I just want to mention, when the enemy, and he's constant, I have a match here. He likes to inflame our mind when we're just about ready to go home. She had the nerve to do that. Oh, enemy loves to throw those things in. And worse yet, he may get us to the point where I ought to give her a piece of my mind. We don't know, but the enemy already said, you ought to give her a piece. And we're already repeating it. We're Satan's man if we go home like that. He's ready to throw dynamite at a conversation. We got the indignation on our face, and we got these words and the intonation coming out. That's an Armageddon that we're going to lose. Okay, but my favorite, the word this week spoke of insect repellent. Ho, ho. We want to get a charge from the Lord, a dispensing of the Lord. Singing, but even yet, I have some favorite songs, but even we can pray sing. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. That's a prayer. We can sing that over and over again, and the insects will flee. We sing long enough. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. The insects will flee. Satan, it's scriptural. Satan will flee, the demons will flee, the nagging thoughts will flee, because we've got our roots planted in the water. We're singing to the water, to the living waters of life.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I really enjoy Colossians 2:9 this week. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it just, it kind of made one of the sentences that we've heard for so many years, it just made it more real to me. Like, I always have heard this sentence, and sometimes when you hear them so many times, it just loses its meaning, even though it's a very rich sentence, that Christ is the embodiment of the triune God. But if you hear that so many times, after a while, it just doesn't mean so much, you know. But this week, all the readings put together made that sentence so real, especially Colossians 2:9. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, and the Godhead is God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And like the other sister shared, I enjoyed that point of the difference between the riches and the fullness. I particularly enjoyed the example of Brother Lee's sons and grandchildren, right? Because more than just more of something, like an overflowing is more of something, this life worked out something more. There's a working out. So all that the Lord has accomplished, you know, Christ makes God known to us. That's like a history, right? That chart that was up there. That's the history of God in Christ. And also this week, it used the word story synonymously with history. And history is kind of a boring word when you think of it. But story is very interesting. You know, when you tell a story, even when Dennis shared the story of the widow, and, you know, a story really, it's easier to take in. It's easier to see something, even though history really is stories. But anyway, I enjoyed that word story, because all that the Lord has, and this is another phrase that we hear so much, obtained and attained, is our history. But this week it also, before it got to those words, it said very simple words. All that the Lord is, has done, can do, those were such simple words, and very accessible and very practical to me. And it's not something in the past, that kind of history, but it's like a story waiting to be written. The Lord's fullness is his moving. God was incarnated. His fullness was pleased to dwell in the Son. Something was being worked out through that. And now this fullness is in us. And it's still working out. I thought of a song too this week. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Another line says, I love to tell the story of untold things above. So this fullness, we really do need faith, because these are unseen things. But through our living and experiencing Christ in our daily lives, in all that he is, can do, will do, this makes him known, even to ourselves. You know, first to ourselves, we need to see him and realize, Lord, you were in that, thank you. But then other people also see him. This is really the trees with their roots, you know, bearing fruit. The fruit is the fullness. The fruit is the expression of all that we're experiencing and enjoying. Amen.
How wonderful. I really love this hymn, that we can simply trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus, but only to trust and obey. I really enjoy also this entire week. There's only two phases. Very simple, that telling us that simply the mystery of God is Christ, and the mystery of Christ is church. So I really appreciate so much, you know, how Christ is the embodiment of God. And by going through all the process and going through, and actually it's such a divine journey, in order that all he had gone through will be able for us to be able to touch the invisible God who live in approachable life. And this God now can be visible, can be touchable, and also can be receivable to every and each one of us who has received Christ as our life and everything. How wonderful. Christ is the mystery of God. But now it's visible, now it's touchable, and now it's receivable to each one of us. In order for us to really experience, to know and experience, even enjoy Christ to such any extent, the Lord had to put us through all kinds of circumstances and all kinds of situations in order that we can really experience him in his humanity. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, by experiencing him to such an extent, then we can be made a part of this mystery of Christ Church. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is how wonderful. I appreciate this. So whenever I was put into a circumstance or situation, I just simply open to the Lord even more before. So I can experience him as my genuine love, at my genuine tender-hearted, at my genuine compassion, at my genuine humility, and my genuine endurance, and my genuine submission. And then this will become a life that Apostle Paul always tells us, it is no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Amen. And also to me, to live in Christ. Amen. So eventually this point to us that all of this, the all this knowing and experience and enjoyment of Christ, is that we can all living one living, and this living is no longer I, but Christ who lives within me. And to me, to live is Christ. This is the mystery of Christ, the truth. This is the definition here. So how wonderful, dear brothers and sisters, we can all live this kind of living by simply turn to Him and open to Him.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we need to turn to Him and open to Him. I must admit, in the beginning when I saw this title, Knowing and Experiencing the All-Inclusive Extent of Christ as the Mystery of God, I said, wow, I've heard about this, it's so deep, but I just feel like, well, you know, I just don't know. But on Monday, I was really touched by that Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be comforted, that they may be knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. I said, Lord, my heart needs to be comforted. Amen. You know, we know all these terms. We think we are, you know, we know everything. But how much is in our experience? There are a lot. And then in day five, Colossians 2:10, and you have been made full in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. The sister already shared the difference between riches and fullness. You know, one time I remember, I was talking with our grandchildren, and suddenly, I don't know why, what the question come out. Why, Paul, are you rich? So they're waiting to hear stories, right? I said, yes. I said, you know what? You are rich if you don't lack anything. I have God, I don't lack anything. But at that time, I didn't have the word to tell them about the fullness. Anyway, they were very young. But this week, wow, I just feel that, you know, I'm not only rich, I'm full. I'm made full in Christ. But I was touched by the very, you know, the beginning of the message is some of the prayers. We feel that we lack something. That was my condition on the Lord's Day evening. I said, Lord, I don't know you because I wish I know the mystery of God, the mystery, you know, of Christ, which is the church. But, you know, I know the term, but Lord, you make it real to me. Amen. Then Saturday, we have the verse, 1 Corinthians 6:70, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Right. And then the prayer really touched me. This is from this brother, okay? Lord, grant me the grace to live one spirit with you.
Amen.
I have no doubt that you are one spirit with me. But Amen. Lord, I ask you to remind me that I am one spirit with you.
Amen.
Wow, this is my prayer. Lord, it's very rich. You know, Lord, remind me. You know, we are made full in you.
Amen.
We don't have to, you know, look at ourselves. We need to look at Him. And the outline, it says, we need to have a full realization of what we have in Christ.
Amen.
And to exercise faith to partake of all that is ours in Christ. As the brother said, we need to exercise the faith. I must say, I'm anxious. I don't have a lot of faith. But Lord, we don't need to look at ourselves. Oh, we just need to exercise faith to partake of all that is in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, my testimony may be very base and very basic, but anyway, I was very touched by something. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we realize the Lord just wants to dispense more of Himself into us. And we're very happy when that transaction is happening. You know what I mean? When we're enjoying the Lord, we have His presence. It's just, that's a good day. You know what I mean? It's just really a good day. You're doing your usual routine things, but the Lord's there and you could sense Him. But I realize that sometimes something's blocking the Lord from dispensing. He's ready, willing, and able, but sometimes we have something that's stopping it, you know? And then this verse came to me this week, that their hearts may be comforted. that their hearts may be comforted. And sometimes we can overlook a simple phrase like that and forget that a lot of times our hearts need to be comforted. There are lots of things that bother us in our daily living, in our daily life, and to me, a lot of times obstruct the Lord from being able to dispense into me. So sometimes we just need to be very basic with the Lord, down to earth, and let him know what's going on, you know what I mean, and what's bothering us. I think sometimes we're afraid, you know what I mean, to be that basic. I'm just going to give you one experience of one sister's brother. He actually meets in denomination. He loves the Lord very much. He's been enjoying the Lord. They've been fellowshipping back and forth, back and forth. And then his dog got lost. His dog. Okay, I'm not a real big dog person, but, you know, he loves his dog, you know what I mean? And he went crazy. He got so upset, he ended up in the emergency room practically with a heart attack because this was been his buddy all his life, you know? So we felt so bad for him. So we prayed for him because now we're afraid he's going to get sick also and he's starting to lose his eyesight. They didn't know what happened to him. We prayed for him. And we were like, Lord, you're so sweet. You're so merciful. Please bring our brother's dog back, you know? And it may sound like a stupid prayer, but I'm sorry. It was important to him, and he's a member of the body, so he's important to us, you know? So long story short, the dog came back. And the police got him, and the Lord touched him to go to the police station again and check again, and sure enough, there was his doggy, you know? So, but, you know, the Lord comforted his heart. It matters to him concerning us. We forget sometimes it matters to him concerning us. And we shouldn't be afraid to bring the little things to him. Then, also, it's easier to bring the big things to him. You know, I got an email this week, very concerned about the saints in Wuhan. That's huge. That's very huge. And I couldn't sleep that night just thinking about what all the saints are going through. Many of them are very, very sick there. And the sister was begging, please, saints, pray for us. Please pray for us. Already the father of one of the sisters had died, you know. And so I couldn't sleep, you know, because we're connected. We're in the body. And I just felt, you know, just pray. I just prayed some things I didn't know what to say or how to say. But if it was happening to us, we would want others to pray for us too. So big things, small things, we can bring everything to the Lord. And I think we shouldn't be afraid to allow the Lord to comfort our hearts.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Question I have for you this morning is, where are you? Amen. Are you in him? Or are you in your mind and yourself? Amen. Are you in him? Amen. The verse says, of him you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And this Christ is everything we need. Amen. And this Christ is grace upon grace. Amen. And this Christ is peace. And this Christ is life and light and righteousness and love and everything, on and on. But the question this morning is, where are you? Or where am I? If I'm in Christ, I enjoy all these riches. If I'm outside of Christ, I shared with everybody I come in contact with, I am a mess. This flesh is not going anywhere until the full redemption of our bodies. Amen. And that it's right here, it's now, it's today. Question again is, where are you, brother? Are you in Christ or are you in yourself? Are you looking at your feelings or are you looking away to Christ? Praise the Lord that we are where? We are in Christ Jesus. And of his fullness, we all have received. And what do we do with this, dear saints? Paul says, this grace was given to him to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Amen. We didn't receive it just to become super Christians, but we need to go out and live it and announce it. Praise the Lord that we are in Christ. Amen. Our brother says we just need to exercise faith. Right? But the one other thing, we're in Christ, but we need to spend the time to absorb Christ. And that's being in the Word, right? Spending the time before the Lord's presence to absorb all these riches into our being. Then we can live it. Then we can announce it. Praise the Lord for the Word we've heard this morning.
Amen.
Appreciated these two verses.
For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right? And you have been made full in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. So this is very specific language use here, that the fullness dwells in him bodily. And of course, our brother pointed out, this is the fullness of the Godhead, the deity. You know, God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere because he's unlimited. So he's everywhere. So of course, he's right here, right now. But I love this expression that it dwelt in him bodily. You know, when the Lord was being baptized, he came out of the water, and then the Bible says that the Spirit descended like a dove. And so one person described this as God, who is omnipresent, can also be locally potent, right? There is the dove descending. And here is the fullness dwelling in him bodily. He got localized. You know, if Jesus was here right now, we would all be feeling pretty good, right? I mean, what can be wrong when you have Jesus, right? Even you're on the seas, the waves, but it's okay because you have Jesus in your boat. In our experience, we might have as our sister shared, that we may know a lot of things. This is like a doctrinal knowledge, but it doesn't really help us. What helps us is our experience of him abiding with us, right? And having and experiencing the fullness, being open to him. And in such a way, we get filled up. And I really appreciate it. Filled up. You've been made full. What a filling this is. Why would we worship angels when we have been filled with the one who has, as it says here, is the head of all rule and authority? And in our experience, do we feel like we've been made full? Well, we just need to open to him and enjoy more of his filling, and he will fill us, and we will have that experience and that blessing. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to be having a church conference up at Camp Penuel, the Harvey Cedars Conference at Camp Penuel, which helps us keep straight. This conference is going to be a great time, so we don't want to go too long. The saints will be driving up there, but pray for this time that the Lord would really fill all the saints participating and make it a time of blessing with his presence. Amen. We can be dismissed.